Simply Financial with Christopher Calandra, Certified Financial Planner, is an innovative, comprehensive, informative, and cutting-edge podcast that discusses financial topics ranging from personal finance, economics, politics, and personal growth. Simply Financial will cover intriguing and thought-provoking questions so that the listener can simply increase their financial IQ.
Welcome to the Simply Financial Podcast. This is season number 3, episode 48. Today I wanted to talk about a topic that I am passionate about, and that is paying off debt. To kind of set the table, wanted to discuss just a few facts and figures, just to bring to your attention how much of a debt problem we have in the United States. So to begin with, there's a 2017 study, a report from the Federal Reserve, and it showed that 48% of Americans reported carrying a credit card balance at least some of the time in the previous 12 months. So that means almost half of those in the report, they're carrying credit card debt, not paying off the balance, paying interest rates that usually are prohibitively high. So that's the first statistic. Secondly, student loan debt. Now, I've talked about this before, most notably in season 3, episode 1. I did a podcast episode strictly on the student debt crisis. In fact, that was the title of the show, Student Debt Crisis. But a couple of quick notes about the student loan crisis. The class of 2018, 69% of the graduates of the class of 2018, so these are graduates, 69% of them took out a loan, and the average debt was just under $30,000. Parents took on $35,800 in Parent Plus loans. These are loans that are available through the federal government, fairly easy to get, and parents often turn to this loan strategy to help get their kids through school. And the biggest number of all, the most jarring number of all, is that when you add up all the student loan debt in this country, it comes out to a whopping $1.5 trillion. So we have Americans carrying credit card debt. We have student loan crisis, $1.5 trillion of debt. And then talk about car loans a little bit. Americans love their cars. The average car payment in this country is just under $500 a month. So if you think about it, if you have a couple, they could have typically $1,000 a month in payments. That's a lot of money. Of course, it depends on your income and wealth, overall wealth. But $1,000 a month for cars is a lot, especially if you also have student loan debt and credit card debt. So let's talk about ways, strategies of paying off debt. So, as I often joke, it will come as no surprise that the first thing is to have a plan to pay off debt. That might be a budget to really get a handle on where your money is going. So budgeting can be part of it. And I am mixed about the use of budget. I've said on the show before, my wife Joelle and I have never done a budget. We do track spending. We mostly, though, focus on our big goals. How much is going to go to retirement? When we had a mortgage, how much was going to go to debt payments? How much is going to go to a college fund? How much is going to get reinvested into the Elliott Wealth Management Service practice? We would focus on the macro goals and less about the day-to-day budgeting. But we were never out of control. I think budgeting is important. If you really have no idea where your money is going and you're sort of out of control and maybe overwhelmed, doing a budget, even if it's just temporarily, might be worthwhile. What I also wanted to say and have a plan in paying off debt is also to focus on the why. Why are you going to do this? Because there's always reasons to spend money, you know, to take a loan instead of working at college, to go out to dinner or travel and just put it on the credit card to upgrade to a nicer car. Who wouldn't want that? But if you focus on the why you want to get your debt paid down and eliminated, that will help keep you on track if you have an important enough why. So keep that in mind as well. So you need to have a plan. Joke, I'm a certified financial planner. I'm a planner by nature. So of course you want to start with a plan, right? The next thing is you can cut back on your spending. You know, maybe do less entertainment, less travel, maybe downgrade a car. You know, find places in your budget where you could spend less money and you could take that savings and pay down debt. The beautiful part about that is that if you pay down your debt and you eliminate your debt, then you have lots more money, lots more discretionary spending that you can be done. But while you have that debt, it soaks up a lot of your monthly income is going to debt service. So maybe cut back. The other thing is to figure out how to make more. Get a part-time job. Work a little harder if you're self-employed to try and drive revenue and profits higher. Figure out a way to make more. The common term that's out there today is to have a side hustle. You know, a little part-time thing, freelancing or delivering pizza or working part-time in the family business, whatever the case may be. But if you could spend a little less, make a little more, and you have an important why, and you're purposeful, you could have a plan to pay off debt. So a few strategies. The one that I think is the most common is the snowball. For those of you that are podcast listeners, one of the most popular podcasts is Dave Ramsey's podcast, and he has a best-selling book, The Total Money Makeover, and Dave Ramsey is the get-out-of-debt guru. I've mentioned him in previous episodes of this show. I agree with much of what he says. I wouldn't say we agree 100% of the time, but paying off debt is a very noble goal. And he's an advocate of the snowball strategy, which means you list your debts from the smallest one to the largest one. Now, often there's some confusion in this. It's not by category. So many people, as an example, have multiple student loans. And so if you have five student loans, you're going to break those five loans into their individual parts. You don't group them together. You put the five on the list along with other debts that you have. The snowball method usually avoids your mortgage. That's usually the biggest debt anyway, although not always. But you list your debts smallest to largest, not by category, but by individual debt. And then you begin the process of paying the minimums on all of the debts and taking whatever extra money that you have available to you to pay down debt from income and or savings, and you throw it at the smallest debt. And the idea is you want to knock that smallest debt off. And once you knock that smallest debt off, you go to the next one on the list and you build momentum by having some early success, maybe cleaning out some smaller ones. Classic example of this is you might have a small credit card debt or a small medical bill, but you start out smallest, pay minimum on everything. Whatever extra you have to pay down on the debt goes on the smallest debt first. When that's paid off, you do the same thing, now attacking the smallest debt. Used to be the second smallest, but now it's the smallest debt. And you work your way through the snowball. It's a very effective way to do it. And if you stick to it, you'll be very successful. Although any plan, if you stick to it, you're going to be successful. But the snowball is the first strategy I wanted to talk to you about. The second one is the avalanche strategy. And it's similar. The only difference is that you line up your debts, but instead of going smallest debt to largest debt, you go highest interest rate to lowest interest rate. From a math perspective, this is more attractive than the snowball because you are trying to get rid of your highest interest cost debt first. Often that's going to be credit cards, although it does not have to be. The advantage to the snowball, though, is you get the psychological advantage of getting some traction, some early success to hopefully feed on your psyche wanting to keep going. The avalanche is more attractive from a purely math perspective because you're going after the highest interest rates debt first. And so it works like the snowball. You would list the debts, highest interest rate to lowest interest rate. You'd pay the minimum on everything. And anything that you have extra to apply to the debt reduction, you would put on the highest interest rate debt. And when that one is paid off, you do the exact same thing, moving on to what was the second most expensive interest rate in your debt list. So those are two major strategies. One thing to keep in mind strategy-wise is to separate out consumer debt, which would be student loans, car loans, personal loans, and the dreaded credit card debt. There are others, but those are the major ones. And separate those out from mortgages, or more broadly, debt that's backed by assets. There's a way of thinking, which I largely subscribe to, that there's a difference in debt that's based on consumer spending, and that's bad debt. And then there's good debt. This, I think, was coined by Robert Kiyosaki, the author of Rich Dad, Poor Dad, a best-selling book. He would often talk about the differences between good debt and bad debt. The aforementioned Dave Ramsey, he doesn't really subscribe to that. But there is a difference between mortgages and debts backed by assets. Small business owners will sometimes have debt that's backed by the business assets. And that's not necessarily good debt, but it's certainly not as harmful and problematic as consumer debt. So we're going to separate out, in your thinking about debt reduction, the consumer debt and the mortgages. The consumer debt is bad, very bad. The mortgages and debt backed by assets, not ideal, but not as problematic. A couple of things that you could do to help pay off debt is, if you have good credit and you have multiple credit cards, or you are open to getting other credit cards, a lot of these issuers will do balance transfer deals. Now, let me just put out a word of caution. You're dealing with institutions that structure these because they're going to win. And when I say win, they're likely to get interest and more money from you. So it's a competitive game you would be playing. But I could probably go to one of my credit card issuers today. I actually didn't check this, but I'm pretty sure. And I could probably go and borrow tens of thousands of dollars from them on a balance transfer. And there's really no underwriting. It's going to be based on my history with the issuer, my credit limit with the issuer, and my overall credit score, which in my case is very good, or would be considered excellent credit. And I could do a balance transfer. They'll send me the check, or they'll use the money, and I could send it to another credit card debt or personal loan or car loan or whatever the case is. A lot of times these credit card issuers will do these deals, and you'll get 0% for 12 to 24 months. And that allows you to reduce your interest rate cost and buy you some time. The trick is that if you pay late, they're going to start charging you interest. If you do not pay it off at the end of the period, the interest rate is going to skyrocket. And there are other rules. You really have to make sure you follow all of their rules to keep the deal, because one slight move in the wrong direction with them and you disobey one of the rules, the small print in the agreement, and the 0% will go to some astronomical interest rate. So it's a competitive game. Years ago, I did use this successfully. I played the game very well, but you really, really have to pay attention to the details. But if you could do that, you could take a 10-plus interest rate credit card debt and maybe drive that down to zero for 12, 18, or 24 months. Keep this in mind, though. Again, the small print is the issuer when they do these deals, they will usually charge you a transfer fee, and that typically is going to range from 3 to 5%. So if you did a balance transfer of $10,000 and it was 0% interest for a year, they may charge you 4% up front, which means your interest rate essentially was 4% for the year. Simple math. It's more complex a calculation than that, but you get the idea. So be very aware of that because you do have to look pretty closely in the credit card issuer's documents to find that. So make sure you pay attention to that. They're typically not going to give you 0% for 2 years without an upfront transfer fee. There are times, especially in the distant past, where I did do balance transfers that literally were zero upfront fee and 0% interest for a period of time. But I think that doesn't exist in today's environment. So look for the upfront cost. Another thing is, and you see a lot of advertisements for this, is that you could do a debt consolidation and you could go to a debt consolidation company. I am very much against that. I believe that's bad. That industry has way, way too much sleaze for anyone I know. And even if I don't know you, I wouldn't suggest you get involved in that. There's a lot of bad actors, very sleazy. They do a lot of bad things. They're going to destroy your credit. It's just a mess. You do not want to do debt consolidation loans through debt consolidation companies. Now, you can do debt consolidation where if you, let's say, could get a personal loan from the bank at a reasonable interest rate, and you had 3, 4, 5 credit cards that were at higher interest rates, you could consolidate that debt and save on interest. But then you're dealing with a reputable institution and not some sleazy debt consolidation firm. Now, there's probably some good debt consolidation firms out there. I'm painting with a very broad brush. But seriously, don't get involved with debt consolidation firms. Buyer beware. So you could consolidate your student loan debt too. And there are some institutions like SoFi, for example, that has staked out a nice market for themselves, helping individuals refinance their student loans. Because if your student loans are 5, 6, 7, 8%, and you can refinance that debt at lower interest rates, you may want to consider that. If you have lots of credit card debt and you could get it to one credit card that might have a lower interest rate, either a teaser deal or a non-teaser deal, you may want to consider that because you're saving interest costs. Another way that you can consolidate debt is by using the equity in your home. There is a second mortgage product out there called a home equity line of credit. It's called a HELOC. So if you want to feel really cool at the next party you go to, you could throw around the term a HELOC, H-E-L-O-C. But HELOC, because it's backed and collateralized by your home, often has lower interest rates than the other lending vehicles we've talked about so far. Typically, a home equity line of credit is going to have a lower interest rate than credit cards, student loans, and possibly car loans. And so that's another way you could consolidate it. And you could take debt and you could put it against the equity in your home by borrowing more money based on the value of your home at very attractive interest rates. So that's another neat debt consolidation strategy that I would approve of, unlike going to the bad debt consolidation companies. The thing about all of these strategies where you take debt and you refinance it to lower rates and or more favorable terms is that you want to be extremely careful, because if you don't change your behavior and you don't have a plan to pay off the debt, you are not really accomplishing that much. So to give you an example, let's say you had some credit card debt and car loan and you were motivated by maybe my commentary today, and you got a home equity line of credit and you cleaned up your couple of credit cards and your car loan, you put it on the home equity line of credit, you reduce your interest rate, you go from several debts, which might be a little overwhelming, to one debt, and you're happy and you're satisfied and you celebrate with a glass of wine or a cocktail tonight. But if you go about spending and living your life like you did before financially, and within a few years you have built up debt in other places, you really didn't accomplish anything. These consolidation strategies that I'm in favor of really will only work if you have a plan to pay them down, and most importantly, you live beneath your means and don't accumulate debt elsewhere. Because when you pay off these other credit cards, in my dopey example where you pay off the credit cards and you put it on the home equity line of credit, that's pretty good. That's good. But if then you say, oh, I have no credit card debt, I could start charging, and I used to have $10,000 in credit card debt. Now, well, what's the big deal if I charge $1,000 to go on this trip I want to go on? Well, it is a problem because you didn't really pay off the credit card. The debt from the credit card's now against your home, and that puts your home at risk. So you want to do these things, but you do need to change behavior and not accumulate debt on top of what you just refinanced. Otherwise, you're going to make the situation much worse for yourself. So some strategies we covered: the snowball method, the avalanche method, separating out consumer debt, those not backed by assets, personal loans, credit cards, student loans. I'm going to throw car loans in there because I think far too many Americans overbuy their car and have payments that really strangle their ability to build wealth and put a lot of pressure on themselves. We talked about doing balance transfers with credit card issuers. We talked about the hazards of dealing with sleazy debt consolidation firms. But we did talk about consolidating debt, student loans, refinancing debt, maybe going to the bank and getting a loan where you could lower your interest rate. Also accessing the equity in your home through a home equity line of credit. I'll kind of throw in as we're wrapping up here, sometimes it will also make sense to refinance your debt along with your first mortgage and just wrap it into the whole mortgage. But again, if you do that and then go about spending out of control and building up debt, you really made things worse for yourself. We talked about changing behavior. If you want to build wealth, you don't want to be strangled by debt. And if you want to save and invest money, you can't have a lot of payments going out the door to service debt. And if you want to have less pressure month to month where you're in this rat race, paying off debt, freeing up your income is very liberating. So thank you for listening to this episode of the Simply Financial Podcast. I'll be back with you on an upcoming episode very soon. In the meantime, we would love it if you'd subscribe to this podcast and encourage friends, family, coworkers to subscribe to it also. If you're interested in finding out more about me and the services that my team and I provide at Elliott Wealth Management Services, you could go to the Elliott Wealth website. That's 2 L's and 2 T's. You'll get information about me and the team and how we help our clients win with money. If you're not a client at the website, you could sign up for a complimentary consultation where we could talk about you, your goals, your debt management plan, and how we might be able to help you. So thanks again for listening.
The views expressed are not necessarily the opinion of Sage Point Financial Incorporated and should not be construed directly or indirectly as an offer to buy or sell any securities mentioned herein. Investing is subject to risks, including loss of principal invested. Past performance is not a guarantee of future results. No strategy can assure a profit nor protect against loss. Please note that individual situations can vary. Therefore, the information should be relied upon when coordinated with individual professional advice. Please note, the information being provided is strictly as a courtesy. When you link to any of the websites provided here, you are leaving this website. We make no representation as to the completeness or accuracy of the information provided at these websites, nor is the company liable for any direct or indirect technical or system issues or any consequences arising out of your access to your use of third-party technologies, websites, information, and programs made available through this website. When you access one of these websites, you are leaving our website and assume total responsibility and risk for your use of the websites you are linking to. Securities and advisory services are offered through Sage Point Financial Incorporated, member FINRA SIPC. Insurance services offered through Elliott Wealth Management, LLC, not affiliated with Sage Point Financial.
Simply Financial is part of the Exvadio Podcast Network. You can find Exvadio Podcasts at exvadio.com/podcast, the Apple Podcasts app, iTunes Store, iHeartRadio app, Spotify, Stitcher, and wherever you find podcasts. So join us and stay informed and entertained.